Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy that airs every Friday night at this time. And this time, it's time for our annual holiday special. I call it a holiday special because we actually have one piece about Hanukkah this year as well. And it's amazing. Christmas is something that is just, it's so all-pervasive. It's this temporary insanity that grips the country every year. And it seems as if it's something that any creators of contemporary comedy are just absolutely unable to ignore. And these pieces are absolutely unsuitable for play any other time of the year, so we do this Christmas special once a year in which we get to listen to them. There won't be time for all of them, but I'll squeeze in everything that I can squeeze in, beginning with Mal Sharp with a small piece on Hanukkah. It's all I could find on Hanukkah this year. There's something else, but I couldn't find it. But all I could find is this delightful piece, and it's a preview of something that we'll be doing next month. I did an interview with Mal Sharp that will be a lot of fun. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. But right now, here is Mal Sharp trying to teach people how to pronounce the name of Hanukkah correctly.
Okay, we're out on Montgomery Street. You know, my mission this week is to teach Gentiles in the Bay Area how to say Hanukkah. Now, what religion are you?
Catholic.
And you?
Presbyterian.
And you?
Jewish.
Okay, now we're going to have the Presbyterian and the Catholic say Hanukkah, and then we'll have the Jewish guy show them how it's done. Go ahead. First, the Catholic.
Hanukkah.
Okay, now the, what are you again?
Presbyterian.
Presbyterian. Go right ahead.
Hanukkah.
Oh. Okay, now here's the Jewish guy. This is going to be great. You show him how it's done.
Okay. Hanukkah.
You see that guy?
Deep enough?
Huh?
Was that deep enough?
Yeah, but you had the ch.
You need a little more roughage.
Hanukkah.
Oh, no, no. Think of chutzpah or chazarai.
Hanukkah.
Awful. How about you?
Chutzpah.
Hanukkah.
Hanukkah.
Ha.
Hanukkah.
Ha. Hanukkah.
Hanukkah.
What religion are you?
Buddhist.
A Buddhist. Were you born here in Chinatown, or where were you born?
We were born in America, yeah.
Hanukkah. Can you do that?
Hanukkah. I'm from the Bronx. Hanukkah. I'm coming from New York.
Could you teach the whole Chinese community how to say Hanukkah?
To pronounce the K, Hanukkah.
Yeah.
It's not very easy for them, you know.
Yeah.
I say God, Hanukkah. God, Hanukkah.
So it's kind of hard for the Chinese people here to celebrate Hanukkah.
Tell them shalom.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a Japanese transistor radio.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
green polka dot pajamas
and a Japanese transistor radio.
It's a Nakashima.
On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
a calendar book with the name of my insurance man.
Green polka dot pajamas and a Japanese transistor radio.
It's the Mark IV model. That's the one that's discontinued.
On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
a simulated alligator wallet.
A calendar book with the name of my insurance man.
Green polka dot pajamas
and a Japanese transistor radio.
And it comes in a leatherette case with holes in it so you could listen right through the case.
On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
a statue of a lady with a clock where her stomach ought to be.
A simulated alligator wallet. A calendar book with the name of my insurance man.
Green polka dot pajamas
and a Japanese transistor radio.
It has a wire with a thing on one end that you could stick in your ear and a thing on the other end that you can't stick anywhere because it's bent.
On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
a hammered aluminum nutcracker and all that other stuff
and a Japanese transistor radio. On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
a pink satin pillow that says San Diego with fringe all around it and all that other stuff
and a Japanese transistor radio. On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
an indoor plastic birdbath.
All that other stuff.
And a Japanese transistor radio.
On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
a pair of teakwood shower clogs.
And a Japanese transistor radio. On the tenth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
a chromium combination manicure scissors and cigarette lighter.
And a Japanese transistor radio. On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
an automatic vegetable slicer that works when you see it on television, but not when you get it home.
And a Japanese transistor radio.
On the 12th day of Christmas, although it may seem strange, on the 12th day of Christmas, I'm going to exchange.
An automatic vegetable slicer that works when you see it on television, but not when you get it home.
Chromium combination manicure, scissors, and cigarette lighter.
A pair of teakwood shower clogs.
Indoor plastic bird bath.
A pink satin pillow that says San Diego with fringe all around it.
Hammered aluminum nutcracker.
Statue of a lady with a clock where her stomach ought to be.
Simulated alligator wallet.
A calendar book with the name of my insurance man.
Reed polka dot pajamas.
And a Japanese transistor. Radio.
Merry Christmas, everybody!
And that was Alan Sherman with 12 Days of Christmas, his version thereof, which is a song I've always thought of as the Christmas version of 99 Bottles of Beer on the Wall. Let's continue with a rare version of Tom Lehrer's song about the materialization of Christmas, and his is just called A Christmas Carol.
Christmas time is here, by golly, disapproval would be folly. Deck the halls with hunks of holly, fill the cup and don't say when. Kill the turkeys, ducks, and chickens, mix the punch, drag out the dickens. Even though the prospect sickens, brother, here we go again. On Christmas Day, you can't get sore. Your fellow man you must adore. There's time to rob him all the more. The other 306, a T, a 4. Relations, sparing no expense'll, send some useless old utensil or a matching pen and pencil. Just the thing I need. How nice. It doesn't matter how sincere it is, nor how heartfelt the spirit. Sentiment will not endear it. What's important is the price. Hark, the Herald Tribune sings, advertising wondrous things. God rest ye merry merchants, may ye make the Yuletide pay. Angels we have heard on high tell us to go out and buy. So let the raucous sleigh bells jingle, hail our dear old friend Kris Kringle, driving his reindeer across the sky. Don't stand underneath when they fly by.
Hello, Doctor.
Hello, Mr. Wiseman.
I'll just lie down.
All right.
I don't know. I don't have anything much on my mind today. I had the same dream again.
The tunnel dream?
No, the dream where I'm the television repairman. And
oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Doctor, I wanted to mention that I won't be in on Friday because of Christmas Eve. I'll be spending it, you know, with my wife and kid, and I have to devote that day.
Will you just miss your session?
I'm afraid I'm going to have to on Friday.
I wish you'd have let me know sooner. I could have filled your hour.
I'm sorry.
This is rather close notice.
Well, it's Monday. I'm sorry. I didn't realize. I thought
Christmas
I would be able
to. Monday is rather close notice.
I am sorry, Doctor.
You think you can't take that 1 hour for your session? I think they're rather important, don't you?
Well, they are. They're very important to me. Heaven knows. I just,
Perhaps at least as important as your wife and children, seeing that these sessions, I think, have helped you a great deal in relating to them.
Well, yes. I wouldn't argue
Perhaps
with that.
Perhaps you don't feel that.
No, I do. I do. No, look, please. Don't take that attitude. I just,
I'm taking no attitude. I'd like to examine this reluctance of yours to come in on Friday.
It's not a question of reluctance.
Do you feel I'm taking the time from your
I assure you, Doctor,
why?
Absolutely not. I just promised the kids I would spend that day with them.
I'd like to know why you can't take 1 hour and come in for your session.
Doctor, look, please, Doctor, will you believe
me? No, I'm just interested in why, when we had a session planned on Friday, that you cannot take the time to come in and keep your appointment.
Doctor, please don't be upset.
I'm not upset. I really am not upset. I'm curious.
If it means
for your
so
sake,
much to you, I will come
in. It means, to me, it means only that you are my patient that will facilitate a cure, but what it means to you is the thing that interests me.
Doctor, I just wanted to spend it with the kids. I promised the kids.
And you feel that an hour away from the kids for your analyst will be too much time?
I'll be back on Monday. You know that.
I'm sure that you will. I would like to discuss the Friday hour, if we may. Care to try to associate to it?
Doctor, please, I feel terrible about this.
Why should you feel terrible? Please. Why should you feel terrible? You have made a decision. I would like to examine the decision. Certainly you should feel not feel terrible about a decision.
I feel I've hurt you.
You have not hurt me. I am only interested in your motivation. I am not hurt because I am going to analyze it.
Well, it's very simple. I'd rather be with my wife and children than with you on Friday.
Oh. I see. Well, then, I guess there's not much more to say, is there? Do you want to finish telling me about the television repairman dream?
Well, I don't think we should go on today. I think you're too upset. Oh, doctor, please. Doctor, I didn't mean it that way. Doctor, listen to me. Doctor.
I knew it. I knew you wouldn't come in Friday.
Doctor, the hour is up.
I don't care.
Dr. Weiss, I have to go, but I...
Go! Then why don't you go? Just go! Don't you tell me you're gonna go! Just go! Get out!
Merry Christmas.
This is the season. My name is Wednesday. My partner is Frank Jones. The chief is Captain Kellogg. December the 24th, Christmas Eve. They brought in a guy named Grudge. When I heard what they booked him on, my blood ran cold. It was a 409-6325-096704. Not believing in Santa Claus. 4:35 p.m. I was working the holiday watch at a homicide with Frank.
What you gonna do tomorrow, Joe? What you gonna do on Christmas? You got any plans?
Nothing much.
Why don't you come by the house, Joe? We're gonna have Christmas dinner. You know, all the trimmings.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey, celery stuffing, oysters maybe, chestnuts.
Mm-hmm.
All the trimmings. Cranberry sauce. Love to have you.
Mm-hmm.
The missus always fixes a plate of relish with them little carrot sticks. You know, olives, pickles, scallions. Most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions. Did you ever notice that, Joe?
Ever notice what, Frank?
How most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
Mm-hmm. Scallions.
Anytime after two, Joe. Love to have you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll see.
Love to have you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll see.
The missus always fixes a plate of relish with them carrot sticks. You know them little carrot sticks?
Mm-hmm.
Olives, pickles, scallions.
Mm-hmm. Let's not go through that again.
Love to have you. Go through what again, Joe?
How most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
Oh. You noticed that too, huh, Joe?
Homicide Wednesday. Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
What's the matter, Joe?
Bringing a guy in a 409-6325-096704.
You mean?
Yeah. I don't believe in scallions. I mean, Santa Claus. 6:29 p.m. We questioned a guy who didn't believe in Santa Claus, a guy named Grudge. Says here your name's Grudge, is that right?
Yeah.
You said you didn't believe in Santa Claus?
It's hard to believe what you said. Did you really say that?
Sure I said it. How do you know there's a Santa Claus? You got a picture of him?
No, no mugshot.
Any fingerprints?
Mm-mm, no latent prints. I just know that's all. It's like saying there isn't an Easter bunny.
That's another guy there ain't no of.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's your story, mister.
Joe, he just said that to make me feel bad, didn't he? There really is an Easter bunny, isn't there, Joe?
Listen, Grudge, didn't I pick you up 3 years ago in a 1492 for not believing in Columbus?
Yeah. I don't believe in Cleveland or Cincinnati either.
How about Toledo?
I ain't made up my mind yet about Toledo.
Okay, mister, I get the picture now. You don't believe in nothing, do you?
Nothing. And you want to know something else?
What's that?
I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk right out of this room. Because you guys ain't got nothing on me. There ain't no law against not believing in Santa Claus.
There is in my book. Let me tell you something, mister. I'm going to prove there's a Santa Claus if it takes me all night.
Pretty funny. The police department's got nothing else to do.
Let me straighten you out, buddy. This one's on Frank and me. Right, Frank? Right, Frank?
There really is an Easter Bunny, isn't there, Joe? You know, hippity-hopping down the bunny trail.
I took Grudge over to the helicopter, got in, flew around the city for hours. I showed him department stores. What's hurrying in and out of those department stores, Grudge?
Happy people, but I ain't impressed.
I showed him stockings. How are those stockings hung, Grudge?
By the chimney with care, but I didn't hang none up.
I showed him children nestled all snug in their beds. What's dancing in their heads, Grudge?
Visions of sugar plums. But you ain't selling me. There ain't no Santa Claus.
He still didn't believe. There was only one thing left to do. My job, get to the North Pole. 11:45 p.m., we arrived at the North Pole. I set the plane down, we walked over to Sandy's workshop, rang the bell. Pardon me, sir, can I ask you a few questions?
Why, sure. Just tickle me to death.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a brownie.
What are you doing at the North Pole with a southern accent?
Well, the boss sort of ran short on help this year, so he had to recruit a few of us brownies from the South Pole.
Mm-hmm, that figures.
What a waste of time.
Could we talk to your boss, please?
Oh, he's out. You would come on the one night he's out in the whole year.
Mm-hmm. What's your particular job, Mr. Brownie?
My boss has 8 tiny reindeer. My job, feed them.
Mm-hmm, yes, sir. What do you feed them?
Well, most times I fix up a little plate of relish. Olives, pickles, and them carrot sticks. You know them little old carrot sticks?
Mm-hmm.
And scallions.
Most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
How do you know?
Just a stab in the dark. The little man showed us through the workshop.
My boss will be back for a second load pretty soon. Say, would you all like to hear an interesting story?
Yes, sir.
Will you see that huge pile of presents over there?
Mm-hmm.
Man, look at all that stuff.
Would you believe it? They're all for the same man, been piling up here year after year.
Why didn't the guy ever get them?
Yeah, why?
Because he didn't believe in my boss. You know the rules.
Mm-hmm, we know.
I don't suppose there's no chance that this guy can still...
Get the presents? Oh, sure. He gets them all the minute he believes. But I don't suppose he ever will.
Too bad about that guy. What's his name?
Don't say it. I don't want to hear it.
Come on, Mr. Brownie. What's his name?
His name? Grudge.
The Brownie saw us to the door, wished us a Merry Christmas. We were heading back to the plane when it happened.
Hey!
Yeah, Grudge?
You know that guy I said I didn't believe in?
Who's that?
Santa Claus?
Yes, sir.
You think I'm too old to change my mind?
You're never too old, Mr. Grudge.
Well, then I believe in Santa Claus and Columbus.
How about Cleveland, Cincinnati, and the Easter Bunny?
Yeah, them too.
And Toledo?
I still ain't made up my mind yet about Toledo.
Look, Grudge, up in the sky. He's coming back for the second load.
It's Santa Claus! It's Santa Claus!
There's the only guy I know can make everybody happy in one night.
Yeah, he must have the biggest heart in the whole world.
That's about the size of it.
That was a very rare piece by Stan Freberg called A Christmas Dragnet, also featuring Dawes Butler. And we can thank Bob Lyons for letting us have that. That was never released on an album, but that was a 45. The last piece in tonight's program is somewhat on the irreverent side. I played it last year without any complaint, so I'm trusting you not to pester us with complaints this year about this if you are seriously religious and think that something slightly irreverent might annoy you. I suggest that you tune out for the next 10 minutes. But here we have Peter Cook and Dudley Moore with their version of what happened in Bethlehem approximately 1984 years ago next week. So here we go. This is from their Broadway review entitled Good Evening. The original title was Behind the Fridge, which is a takeoff on the fact that they were one half of Beyond the Fringe when it came out. And this is called The Gospel Truth.
Here, stop that, will you? Get off her. She's only a young one. Get off.
Her. When the saints come marching in. Hello.
Hello.
I believe you are Mr. Arthur Shepherd.
That's right. Shepherd by name, Shepherd by nature. Oh. Hello, my flock of lowing.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, that's rather good, that one. I never heard that one before.
There's a new one on me.
Yeah. That's a new one on her. Will you get off?
Let me introduce myself, Arthur. My name is Matthew.
Hello, Matthew.
You may have heard of me and my colleagues, Mark, Luke and John.
I know you lot. You're celebrities. Let me shake you by the hand.
Certainly.
Could I touch your raiment?
By all means.
Thank you.
All right.
Best raiment I ever touched.
Yeah. Jolly good. Let me explain, Arthur. We are doing an in-depth profile of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
You may know him as the Messiah.
No, I don't know.
What, you don't know him?
Yeah, I know him as Jesus.
Oh, fine.
Not that other thing.
Oh, I see, right.
Which newspaper do you work for?
I work for the Bethlehem Star.
Oh, yeah. The wife and I take the star, actually.
Oh, jolly good.
Don't think much of your racing, tipster.
Oh?
I had 3 shekels on that camel in the 3:15 at Galilee. It's still bloody running, that one.
Well, I don't work on that side of the paper myself. You know, I work on the more serious side, reportage.
Oh, reportage, yeah. Very serious work.
Yes, indeed. And as I was saying, Arthur, we are doing this in-depth profile of Jesus,
yeah.
And I gather that you were actually in on the very first moment surrounding the birth of the Holy Child.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
That is marvellous.
Oh, good.
Now, what I'd like you to do, if you're willing, of course, is tell me what happened in your own words.
Well, it's quite simple, really.
Oh, marvellous.
Basically, what happened was that me and the lads were abiding in the fields.
Abiding in the fields, yeah.
Mind you, personally, I can't abide these fields.
No.
I mean, look around you. They are unabidable fields.
Yeah.
I say these are the most unabidable bleeding fields I've ever had to abide in.
Yeah. I'll abide by that. You were abiding in the fields, Arthur.
Yeah, and we were watching our flocks by night.
Watching our flocks by night, yes.
Yeah, because that's when you have to watch them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's when they get up for all their rubbish.
Oh, right, yeah.
Hot summer nights, the rams go mad.
Yeah.
Especially that one over there. He's a filthy little bugger. Oh, you cut that out. Doing that in front of you, a holy man.
Ah, well, it's only human. Yeah.
I may be a bit old-fashioned, but I don't like to see one ram doing it to another.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Your blimey, he's an enthusiast, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, top marks for enthusiasm, 0 for accuracy.
It's a bit distracting, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sorry about all those ramifications going on down there. I've got no control over them.
Ah, well, they're only young ones, aren't they?
Yeah, I think I'll get my next lot from Gomorrah.
Oh. Arthur, you were abiding in the fields,
yeah.
And you were watching your flocks by night.
Yeah.
Then what happened?
Well, much to our surprise, the angel of the Lord flew down.
That must have been a fantastic experience.
Well, it made a break, you know. bit of a change just from abiding, him suddenly flashing down like that.
But how did you know it was the angel of the Lord?
Tell you what the giveaway was, Matthew. It was this ethereal glow he was emanating.
Ah.
He was emanating this ethereal glow.
Right.
And as soon as I saw him emanating, I said, hello, angel of the Lord.
Yeah. Halo?
Halo, certainly, yeah.
Yeah.
Halo and goodbye, we said afterwards. Because he wasn't there for long. He just delivered his little message and he was off like a bat out of hell.
Wings, I suppose.
Oh, wings. I have never seen such a gorgeous pair on a man.
Really?
They were outstanding wings. All gossamer shimmering there in the starlight.
Oh, it must have been remarkable.
It was, I noticed it.
Yeah. What did he say to you, Arthur?
Well, he sort of singled me out from the other lowly shepherd folk, like.
How marvellous.
And he said, unto ye a child is born.
Yes.
Unto ye a son is given.
Yeah, what was your reaction?
Total shock. I mean, I wasn't even married at the time. And I thought, blimey, what was I doing this time last year, you know?
Yes, yes.
Could it be that little bird I met down the Shepherd's Delight?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But the angel of the Lord... the angel of the Lord went on to explain that when he said ye, he didn't mean me personal, like. He meant ye in the sense of the whole world. Under the whole world the child is born.
Under
the
whole
world the son is given.
Yeah, he was using the universal ye.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't know that because I'm not educated.
No, that's what he was using, though, the universal ye.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, lovely use of it, too.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And he went on to say, you shall find the child lying in a manger, all meanly wrapped in swaddling clothes.
Oh, lovely language.
He was very effluent.
Yeah. I suppose your first reaction was to whip over there and have a peep.
Naturally, we all dashed down the stable. But when I arrived, I was in for a bit of a shock.
Go on.
I will. Because when he said, ye shall find the child all meanly wrapped in swaddling clothes, I thought to myself, fair enough, it'll be fairly meanly wrapped, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing flash, nothing gaudy.
Yeah, right.
But when I got there, it was diabolical. It's the meanest bit of wrapping I've ever seen. What's more, that kid was barely swaddled.
Good Lord.
I say, it's the worst job of wrapping and swaddling I've ever seen in my life. Terrible wrapping, atrocious swaddling.
Oh, how very distressing.
It was alarming to behold.
I'm sure it was, Arthur. Now, Arthur, I want you to think back in time.
I'll do it now, if you like.
No, No. What I meant was think back now to then.
That's what I meant. Think back to then, now.
Right. Now then. What was the atmosphere like in the stable on this joyous, historic occasion?
The atmosphere in the stable was very, very smelly. There were all these cows and goats and sheep and camel about.
Yeah, no.
And they had no sense of occasion.
No. They were... No, that's a fascinating sidelight, but what I was really after was, what was the atmosphere like amongst the members of the Holy Family?
Oh, the personal atmosphere?
Yeah.
In one word, tense.
Tense, you surprised me.
Joseph in particular. He was sitting in the corner of the stable, looking very gloomy indeed.
He might have been feeling a bit disgruntled, not being the real father.
I think that was it.
Yeah.
I think he felt left out of the whole thing.
Yeah, right.
And personally, I think this is why he'd done such a rotten job on the swaddling.
Yeah.
You know, he just couldn't be bothered to swaddle.
No, yeah.
And let's face it, there have been a lot of tittle-tattle about his wife and the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, rumours have been flying round Bethlehem.
Yeah, right.
As indeed the Holy Ghost must have been.
Yeah. Was the Holy Ghost there?
Hard to say.
Yeah.
He's an elusive little bugger at the best of times, isn't he?
Yeah.
And I didn't see him, and I was very disappointed, because I felt very strongly at the time that he should have been there.
Mm.
You know, in his capacity as the Godfather.
Yeah. Well... especially after his treatment of the Virgin Mary, making her an offer she couldn't refuse.
Yeah. Making her an offer she didn't even notice.
Yeah. Anyway, Arthur, I gather later on in the evening, three wise men came by. Am I right there?
Three wise men arrived, yeah.
Yeah?
Three bloody idiots, ever I saw any.
Yeah.
In they come, call themselves Maggie.
Three blokes come in and call themselves Maggie?
Yeah. They peered round the stable door, said, hello, we're Maggie.
How very embarrassing.
We didn't know where to look.
No.
And they were bearing these gifts, you see.
Yeah.
Gold, frankincense and meh.
That's M-E-H, isn't it?
I think so, yes.
Very nice of them, you might know. Very nice of them to have brought those along, eh?
Well, I think the gold was probably welcome, but what's a little kid going to do with frankincense and meh? I ask you.
I suppose you're right, actually.
I mean, meh is that stuff what poofs put behind their ears, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Over-perfumed ointment muck.
Yeah, right.
But Jesus! He was so polite about it, I'll never forget. He sat up in the manger. He adjusted his swaddling. He said, thank you, gentlemen, for these lovely prizzies. I hope you have a safe trip back. Merry Christmas.
And there you go. That's going to have to wrap up our annual Christmas spectacular. That was Peter Cook and Dudley Moore with The Gospel Truth. Before that, we heard a very rare piece by Stan Freberg called The Dragnet Christmas. Mike Nichols and Elaine May with Merry Christmas, Doctor. Christmas Carol by Tom Lehrer. Alan Sherman with The 12 Days of Christmas. And Mal Sharp with Hanukkah. And let's see, next week's program is going to be a hopefully funny look at the effects of alcohol on the human body and the way it has been treated by comedians through the years. And that should be interesting and perhaps just a little bit cautionary. And let's see, what else? I'd like to wish you all a very wonderful holiday. And I hope you get what you want, and I hope that what you give people, they like. And I hope you didn't forget to give somebody something that gave you something. And I hope that the whole thing just turns out to be, against all odds, a very pleasant and wonderful experience for you. The address is Bob Claster, KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it, especially here at Christmas time. So, Merry Christmas, everybody, and I'll see you next week.